Well, this morning we're going to wrap up this whole talk on making change. We've been looking at this subject, making change, and this will be our fourth week. And as we wrap this up, I hope that you won't be wrapping up and putting an end to what it is that you're going to be doing to be making some changes in how you handle money. So we've looked at this very holistically. We started this week one looking at this thought of less is more. That if we could understand that we don't need to have all the stuff to be able to enjoy life, that if we could have less things and we could enjoy them more, if we could begin to take this approach with life, that we could find a secret and a joy to enjoying this life in ways that we haven't been able to find yet. We looked at stress is bad. We looked at this very thought that we're end up making choices, and we keep making financial choices that keep adding stress to our life instead of reducing stress from our life. So we looked at what does that look like and how can we begin to eliminate that. Last week, we looked at giving is good. And if you heard our offering talk just a few minutes ago, you got to hear about some of the value and some of the joy when it comes to being generous, because we gave away the previous week's offering last week and we put it in your hands and we allowed you to be somebody that you could experience the joy in giving and just see what that feels like, and for some of you to maybe even experience that for the very first time, but to know that giving is good. In fact, those stories that Corey was able to read earlier, we'd love to collect more and more of those stories from you. And you can send those stories in on our blog at crosspointgivingproject.com. That you can just send those there. You can also just read about more of those when you go there. We've even had somebody put on our Facebook page, put a post that was on the receiving end, that they don't go here. They just have to be on the receiving end of it. And they were sharing just what it meant for them in a very difficult time for them to be on the receiving end of somebody giving. That giving is, it is good. And when we trust God with our finances and we give, that giving, it invites God to do the supernatural with our finances. That's what it does. That we looked last week specifically at how to grow in the area of giving. And how do we do that? We start by trusting God with the tithe. The tithe is an amount, it's a measurement, it's 10%. That we would trust God with the first 10% of what we would earn. That's one of the ways that we can grow. That we would plan our generosity. That there's too many people that say, I believe in tithing. I like the idea of tithing. I want to one day become a tither, but I just don't have enough money at the end of the month, so I'm just not able to do it yet. And the problem is we don't give first. We haven't planned it. We haven't planned to make that the priority when that's our situation. And so we've got to plan our generosity. Then we looked at this idea that start giving now. And that's when we gave away this offering to help you guys start being generous now and to be able to know what that feels like and the reward that comes when we are giving. See, lives are changed when we give generously. Lives are changed. And God wants to use giving as one of those means to help change people's lives. Tomorrow matters. So what we're going to talk about today as we wrap this up. Tomorrow matters. And what we do today, it affects what we achieve tomorrow. That what we do today, it affects what we achieve tomorrow. And this isn't something that's just limited to finances. We can look at it in so many areas of life. Of whatever it is that we do today in school, it will affect our tomorrows and how tomorrow is going to turn out for us. How whatever we do and how we treat our family, it's going to affect our tomorrows. Whenever we choose the friends that we're going to keep, this is what affects our tomorrows. The way that we live out our faith, it affects our tomorrows. That so much of what we do today, it affects what we achieve tomorrow. See, at Crosspoint, we believe that tomorrow matters. That tomorrow matters. In fact, we have over 100 people every week that volunteer because they believe that tomorrow matters and that what we do and how we pour into people and how we share God's love in a practical and very real way, it affects people's lives. It affects tomorrow. We're going to be doing something that we're starting next week for two different people groups. One is for those of you that volunteer here at Crosspoint. We're going to be doing something for you. Also, for those of you that are here and you're going, well, I don't volunteer, but I keep thinking I'd like to. I've been thinking, you know, that's something I want to do, but I don't even know how to get started or where I'd go. Then this is going to be for you as well. And what we're doing is we're going to be doing a monthly morning momentum. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to get to church earlier. Because we know the 11 o'clock crowd's like going, man, I just wish I could get to church earlier. And so we're going to be serving breakfast at 8:22 to those that are volunteering and those that are saying, you know what, I'd like to look for a way. I'd like to find my path so that I can begin to volunteer. And so we're going to be serving breakfast at 8:22. We're going to come in here. We're going to equip you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to help you catch a little bit more of what the vision here at Crosspoint is and how you can be a bigger difference maker in what you do. And so that's what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be sharing. It's going to be a great time for us to mingle with each other and get to know some people more as well. It's just going to be a great, great time. So we're going to be doing that the first Sunday of the month is what we're going to be doing. So we're going to be starting that next week. And why are we doing it? Because we believe that tomorrow matters. And we believe that the people that volunteer know that, hey, what we do today, it affects what we achieve tomorrow. And we want to help people that are coming to church and going, hey, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for what God has for me. I'm looking for some hope. And so we're going to leverage that and do all that we can with that. And I hope that you will make plans to join us. So let's get back specifically to focusing on the subject matter of finance as we talk about tomorrow matters. Because especially with our finances that we can see that our finances matter. See, something I discovered a while back is money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. That money can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you a good night's rest. That money has its limitations, but money also has its liberations. And we've got to make sure that we understand the role of money in our lives, and we don't let it get out of whack one way or the other, and that we use it appropriately the way that it was designed to be used. And that we understand, yes, here are its limitations. There's things that money can't do and money can't buy. But yet there are things that money can do and money can buy. So how is it that we make the most of our money? So let me ask you a painful question because I'm going to be a pain dealer this morning. So here it is. If you could wave a magic wand and you could undo your three biggest financial mistakes, how much more money would you have? Yeah, see, for some of you, that was really painful. For some of you, you're like going, where do I start? Do I think about the circumstance or do I think about the amount of money? Because both of those can bring some pain as we think about those situations. Did you make a financial mistake with a career choice? Did you go, you know, this is just what I want to do with life, and I'm going to be able to enjoy it, and I'm going to be able to do well, and you had people telling you, you know, I'm not sure that's the best career choice for you, and 23 years later, you're going, I think I made the wrong career choice. And you're looking back and you're going, yeah, that's one of my most costly financial mistakes. Maybe for some of you, that the first thing that came to mind was a previous marriage. You're going, yeah, that marriage, that thing is still costing me. And you're looking at that and you're going, man, if I could have undone that, that for whatever reason you jumped in, you didn't do your research, you didn't think it through, you made too much of an emotional decision instead of a commitment to it, or you didn't know something, you didn't realize this about them, and wow, that one turned out to be a big financial mistake. Maybe it was borrowing for a vacation that you went on 4 years ago and you're still paying for. And you're going, man, that vacation was good, but it wasn't this good while you are still continuing to pay for it. Maybe it was the use of some credit cards, or maybe we really need to call it the abuse of some credit cards. That you'd look at that and go, yeah, that applying for credit and starting to use it, that was my biggest financial mistake. I wish that I could go back and undo that. Maybe it was buying a timeshare that you sat down and you heard the spiel, you filled out the card because I'm going to win a car. And then you end up hearing the spiel and you're like, wow, yeah, we really could do this. We should do this. And you bought it. And every year you keep being reminded that you have it, not because you're using it, because you're paying your dues. You go, yeah, that's my biggest financial mistake. Maybe you would think in terms of a bad investment. You know, I made a really bad investment. I put some money in a place that I really shouldn't have put it. I didn't do my research. I should have. But you put it there. And you thought that's what's going to come through, and it's going to come through. But it didn't. Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe you would look at one of your worst financial mistakes, and you'd be going, no, it's the fact that I didn't invest anything, that I've not invested. And here I am at this stage of my life, and I don't have anything that's out there working for me and growing for me. But we have all made some financial mistakes. You know, live without some things now to invest in what lasts forever. That's one of the things that we need to learn to understand as we think in terms of making change, as we think in terms of tomorrow matters. That what if I were to live without some things now? So that I could take and I could invest in what lasts forever. What if it was that you were going to say, you know, I want to use my time instead of trying to chase that, because I want to invest in people, because souls are what last forever. How is it that I could take and I could make sure that I'm prioritizing my financial resources so that I can give back to God with what God has asked me to give, so that I can invest in what lasts forever? You know, when I think about just the generations that we have here in America right now, and I think about, well, what is it that is the biggest challenge that our generations face? And I think that the biggest challenge is that our generations face, and I don't think that there's anyone that's immune to this. And it's that we end up making these choices. We can't see that the choices that we make today determine the outcome of our tomorrows. That we get too emotionally involved in whatever decision we're making today, and we don't look far enough ahead and understand that the choices that we make today affect the outcomes of our tomorrows. That we end up being a generation that we're spoiled with now at the expense of later. You ever known somebody that they spoil themselves with stuff, but yet they didn't even have the resources to do it? And they just are. They're just spending their money on the stuff and trying to spoil them, convincing themselves that they deserve something that they didn't even have the resources for. And we do. We end up spoiling ourselves with the now at the expense of later. An article from 2013 posted by CNN had done the research, and what they discovered was that 76% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That if we just kind of look around the room, then we go, okay, wow, 75%, three-fourths of this room is living paycheck to paycheck. What's something else that's even more disheartening is that 55% aren't even concerned about it. Not even looking to make any changes. That's just the way it's going to be. And they just are going to continue down this path of living life paycheck to paycheck. And we can't blame it all on a downturned economy, although we might want to. But we've also got to find where we are in this and what we own in this and how we got to where we are. Here was an interesting survey done by the National Endowment for Finance Education, for financial education. And so what they did is they said, hey, we're going to survey, and they surveyed over 2,000 people, and they asked them this question. Why do you think people are living paycheck to paycheck? We've got so many Americans that are living paycheck. Why do you think that people are living paycheck to paycheck? And so they shared the five most popular responses. And the most popular response, where 24% said this is the reason, was credit card debt. 22% of them identify that the primary reason people are living paycheck to paycheck is employment struggles and just not being able to stay employed. The third one was mortgage or rent. That people were in a position where they were house poor. They had more house than really what they could afford, whether it was purchasing or whether it was renting. The fourth one was healthcare costs, and 10% said it's healthcare and the rising cost of healthcare. And the last one was taxes, and it was pretty small. It was just 4% that said it's taxes. It's taxes. But yet when I look at those responses, I think that they missed the most obvious reason. And I think the most obvious reason why so many are living paycheck to paycheck is choices. It's choices. And it's the choices we make and how we manage or mismanage, whether it's our time, whether it's the way that we're using that to make money, whether it's the way that we're spending the money, whether it's both. But it is choices. And having an education on finances and applying it is key. And we've been trying to educate for the last 3 weeks on finances and understanding some of these things. And our Bible has a lot to say about this. We're going to look at several passages. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Listen, I have made some massive financial mistakes. I usually like to say that we, because that way it doesn't look like it was all me, you know, because I'm married and I want to say we. But my wife just pulls a little bit away when I say we, because she's not one to make very many financial mistakes, because she's just a saver. She's very simple. And I'm the guy that's the spender, and I'm the guy that's out there trying to put money to work. And I've made a lot of financial mistakes. When I think about my top three, that it quickly adds up to being a six-figure mistake when I add those up. And I'm not just saying that and just go, oh, yeah, it's a six. No. It is over a six-figure mistakes that I have made with my top three. And living paycheck to paycheck, if this is where you are, living paycheck to paycheck will keep you from reaching a better financial future. So you got to make some changes. You got to make changes in either what you're spending and reduce that. And if you can't do that, then you've got to make some changes in what that income is and how you're bringing in more so that you're not living paycheck to paycheck. I want to give you a simple plan that I heard years ago. It's a simple plan, and I think it's a great place to start. It's not a plan that I'm saying, and this is all you ever need to do. This is the end all be all. It's just a great place to start. That if you're somebody that you're going, you know what, I could use a simple plan, because it's just a three-step plan. We're not even going to put it up on the screen. It's just going to be so easy for you to grasp. But you might want to write it down. You might want to take a note of it. Because here's the plan. It's 10, 10, 80. As in 10-10-80. It's a very simple plan. It's a great place to start if you're going, I just need to know where to start. Well, then start with a 10-10-80 plan. And what is the 10-10-80? It is give God 10%. Give your tithe. Save 10%. Live on 80%. It's that simple. It is simple to say, but it takes some discipline to live, to get there. But I believe you can. And like I said, I don't think it's the end all be all, but if you're looking for a place to start, I think this is a great place to start. I want to share with you two ways to make money, because there's two ways. Some of you guys are going, really, there's two ways? I thought there was just one. Or some of you guys are going, oh, there's a whole lot of ways to make money. Well, what are you talking about? There's only two ways. I think when you break it down, there are two ways to make money. Number one is people make money. This is when you trade your time, your talent, your skills, your energy, and you give that, and in exchange, you make some money. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and by the way, if you don't know this about Proverbs is a book that was written by King Solomon. It's a very wise man, a very wealthy man. And he was writing this for his sons so that he could leave something to his sons to help guide his sons. And so here's what we're going to look at. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Right about there, you're like going, oh yeah, he's talking to his kids. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. That they work hard, they don't use all that they work for, they save some of it up, and they have something to rely on for when times get lean. Learn something from the ants. So, one way we make money is people make money. The other way that we make money is this: it's money makes money. That people make money and money makes money. I enjoy watching the Shark Tank. It's a very entertaining show for me. It's a show about these venture capitalists that they're going, hey, you can pitch me whatever it is that you're doing, whatever invention you have, whatever business model you've got, whatever it is that you're doing, and you can pitch it to me, and if it looks like it's something that is worthy of investing in, I'm going to buy in. And so they do. And so one of these sharks, his name's Kevin O'Leary. And what I've heard Kevin say on more than one occasion is he talks about his money, and he says this about his money. He says, my money is my children. That's how he calls, that's how he refers to his money. And he says, here's what I do with my children. I send them off to go work. And I tell them, don't come back until you bring some of your friends. That you go off and you go off to work, you make some friends, and you bring your friends back with you when you come back. Because people make money, but also money makes money. And what is it that we could do so that we could live on less, so that we can begin to put our money to work to where our money is making money? Solomon also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. He's telling his boys, send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. Send it. Let it go do its work. And then enjoy the return of that. That we use our time and our talent to make money, but we also use our money to make money. When you get your behavior with money right, then you can leverage money for what money can do. But don't try to leverage it for what it can't, because it has its limitations as well as its liberations. So I want to share with you three cautions for building wealth. Three cautions. And as you're hearing this, you're going, well, you know what? I'm interested, Will. I think I'd like to be able to do that. What is it that I could do? Well, here's three cautions. I'm going to spend most of the time on this first caution. Don't invest in what you don't understand. Don't invest in what you don't understand. I was in my early 30s when we finally reached a point financially where we had stockpiled some money and we had extra money to do something with, a significant amount. In fact, we had $2,000 a month extra that we just weren't committed to spending anywhere else. And we were going, hey, we want to use this and do something with it. So I started thinking, wow. We should put this in the market. We should buy stocks. I love technology, and so I think I know how to buy some tech stocks. And so we put a large lump sum out there, and then we started putting $2,000 a month buying stock. I started researching the companies, started trying to find things about different companies, and it was great. And for almost 2 years, over a year and a half, what we were putting to work and watching it grow, it had more than doubled, and it was amazing. And I was going, why isn't everybody doing this? It's free money. Everybody should be investing. And then we went from the dot-com boom and started experiencing the dot-com bust. Because I had never invested before, and because I'd never been educated on it, and I was just doing all this on my own, and I started to watch it go down a little bit, I was like, oh, well, I've heard the market kind of has its ups and downs, and so it'll be okay. I'm just going to leave it. And it would go down. And it kept going down, and it kept going down, and it kept going. It went down for months. And I watched what we had built up to being something that had hardly anything left to it. One of the companies I had invested in that I really didn't know much about back then, it's a company that sold some books called Amazon. And in my panic and going, I want to have at least something to show for what we've had and what we've worked so hard for. And I'm going to sell it and sell it at a loss, which I did. And I sold my Amazon shares for right at $20 a share. Today, Amazon's shares are $845. See, in my panic and my not knowing and my not understanding, and that was me. I was a guy that was investing in what I didn't understand and didn't know. So I, since then, said, I'm never again investing in individual stocks. We're just going to put it into mutual funds. And we did, and that's what we started doing. Well, then I started having an itch to be able to do more than what I could do with just with mutual funds. I got a mentor. I started looking into and researching and studying investment property, what I could do there. And I remember buying our first investment property. And I remember buying it. I remember our realtor telling us it's going to need about $15,000 in repairs before we ever even bought it. We ended up making those repairs for just under $14,000. He was really good at knowing what that was. But I remember being in that process. I remember being in that home, and I remember going, Will, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You don't know anything about real estate. But I'd really leaned into somebody who had had a lot of success with it and let them mentor me. But I remember regretting what I had done. I now have 4 rental properties. And for us, it's something that we clearly understand. And I have the dream of having 15 rental properties and for what that's going to do for us financially as a household. But it's about making choices. It's about knowing that you need to invest in what you understand. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 5. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. That there's some power with knowledge. That I'm somebody that I started studying this idea of what can I do? I started reading. What is it that I could and should be doing when it comes to building wealth for our family? And we're a family. I don't know if you know this about me, but we have multiple streams of income. I started a business right out of college that's been a great blessing for us as a family. We started doing this investment thing and allowing us to be able to experience that. But it's about making choices for what we want to do, but we had to choose to live on less so that we could send our money to work. Number 2, don't put all your eggs in one basket. That when it comes to these cautions to build wealth, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And you got to just push it out and you got to get it into different places so that you're trusting and doing some Roth investments, which is something we do as well, and diversifying what we're doing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. So when you diversify, you're protecting what it is that you've put aside and worked so hard to have. Third caution, don't try to get rich quick. Another mistake that I have made. Don't try to get rich quick. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. That when people get rich very quickly, they often are not very good money managers, and they end up blowing a lot of that money. But when you have to build it over time, did you make wiser decisions with it? And this is why we need to work hard. I want to give you a formula that I want to leave you with this morning. Just a simple little formula for you to think about and for you to go, hey, if I were to apply that, if I were to do that, what could happen for our family? So it's this. investing money plus time plus consistency equals wealth for your future. That's investing money plus having time for that money to grow, consistently putting that money to work equals wealth for your future. Something that I started sharing with my kids was I started sharing this with them. That when you graduate from college and when you go and you start to work, I want to encourage you to wait until you're 30 to start enjoying your money. To spend those 8 years living on a lot less, putting that money to work and investing it, and then be able to enjoy the fruit of that the rest of your adult lives. I didn't do that. But yet, we're making those choices now. We just don't have as much time to let all that grow because we waited too long to be able to do it and to do it consistently. And so I've tried to teach them and instill in them this value. Because tomorrow matters, change how you live today. Because it's today's choices that determines what your tomorrows will look like. I want to leave you with this. I sat through FPU last week. We had 85 people that turned out to this and said, hey, I want to come. I want to hear. Some of them are just doing it as a refresher, and some of them are going through it for the very first time. In fact, if you still have been kind of hobbling and been on the fence or not, it is not too late for you to jump in and make sure that you're going to be there this Tuesday for the rest of the duration and be able to get value out of it. I want to share with you three notes that I took listening at FPU. Here they are. Number one was, discipline is what causes us to build wealth. It's just a simple thought, but it's discipline that causes us to build wealth. The second note I took, we don't like discipline. But that's only half the sentence. We don't like discipline, but we like the results of discipline. Whether you're talking about a diet, whether you're talking about an exercise routine, whether you're talking about your finances, we don't like the discipline while we're doing it. But if we stay disciplined, we like the results of it. Third one, building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. I really like how Dave Ramsey put it in this class. And this is what he said about Financial Peace University. He said, we don't sell microwaves. We sell crockpots. That building wealth, it's about using a crockpot method. And it's slow. It's investing money plus time plus consistency equals wealth for your future. And maybe you've got to start with paying off debt, getting that done first, and then you get your debt removed, and now you get to start investing for your future. We can make change. We don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. We could set the path and set the trajectory for what our family's future is going to look like based on how we manage our resources. And when you make your giving to God as your top priority, it invites him to do the supernatural with your finances. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you allow us to live in a world where there's an economy based on money. And I pray that we would be people that we would trust what is inside of your word that is chock full of instruction when it comes to money and possessions. That we would trust that we would trust you, and that we wouldn't try to make more of our lives with money that money just can't do. We would understand its limitations, and we would understand the value of living life with a healthy and proper perspective of money. Help us to make the change that we need to make, and for us to be consistent, and for us to remove the stress, and for us to enjoy what it means to be generous in our giving.